بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 14th of March in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 6th week the 42nd night that we're going through the illustrious and blessed life of the noble companion, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu. And we've reached the fourth day of Yarmouk, entitled The Lost Eyes, Decapitated Heads and Severed Hands. And I mentioned that Shurahbil's wing has been pushed back. And Amr has managed to hold his line. But Khalid now was going to the aid of Shurahbil, but he feared an attack on the left side of the Muslim forces, i.e. with Yazid and Abu Ubaidah. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, in his brilliance, he told the left wings of the Muslim forces to attack, to put the Romans on the back foot, which they did, and this was to be a spoiling attack on the Muslim left. So Khalid radiallahu anhu, now feeling more assured about his left, decided to strike the Armenians. So who are they? They're the ones opposing Shurahbil's force on the right center. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided his reserve into two equal groups, of which he gave one to Qais ibn Hubayra rahmatullah alayh, and kept the other with himself. So his force, his mobile guard, he split. Half the command was given to Qais, half under himself. Thus began a three-pronged counter-attack against the Armenians and Christian Arabs, the cavalry screen. Khalid radiallahu anhu struck from the right. Qais rahmatullah alayh struck from the left, and Shurahbil from the front. So Shurahbil's wing is virtually back in camp. So Khalid is attacking this advanced wing of the Romans, i.e. the Armenians, from three angles. He is attacking from the right, Qais from the left, Shurahbil with the wing from the front. The fighting became vicious in this sect, and for hours a bitter struggle raged between the Muslims and the Christians. But at last, the brave Armenians finally broke under the incessant blows of the Muslim cavalry and infantry. They thus finally fell back to their original position, losing many lives in the process. So the three-pronged attack is what managed to dislodge the Armenians. They went back to their original lines, but they cost them many lives. As the Armenians pulled back, the force facing Shurahbil's corps, Amr ibn al-As renewed his efforts to dislodge the Slavs from the force facing his right wing, from the position they had taken. And indeed, the Slavs, now denied the support of the Armenians, also retreated. So what did I mention yesterday? Amr has got another line. He hasn't restored the line. He's between the Muslim camp and the original line. With the Armenians being pushed back, Amr ibn al-As finally managed to dislodge the Slavs, and they went back to their initial lines. Simply put, the position of the Muslim right corps was restored. However, whilst all this was taking place, an equally critical and more fierce battle was being fought on the left side of the Muslim front. Indeed, what made this latter action so dangerous was the fact that the army reserve was heavily committed on the right and could do nothing to help Abu Ubaidah and Yazid on the left. They were now literally on their own. So he's told them to attack. They got the advantage of surprise, but they had to hold their own because there was now no support coming. They were heavily engaged on the right. Indeed, the left corps of the Muslims enjoyed some success, and the Romans were pushed back. But this action had not proceeded far when the Muslims suddenly found themselves being subjected to a merciless barrage of archery. So, offense is the best defense. They've got the supplies, they're pushing the wings of the Romans back. But all of a sudden, as the Romans are retreating, they start letting loose with their powerful archery. And the report says, thousands of Roman archers opened upon the believers. And so rapid and intense was the flight of arrows that it mentions. Arrows fell like hailstones and even blocked the light of the sun. SubhanAllah. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 146. So again, you can imagine the intense barrage of arrows. It literally covered the sun. Many a Muslim was thus wounded by these arrows, the wounds varying from light to severe. Around 700 Muslims lost an eye. SubhanAllah. It is related that from the left side of the Muslim front arose the lament, "O my eye, O my sight." Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 149. Sayyidina Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu also lost his remaining eye in this encounter. He was thus blinded. As a result of this action, this fourth day of battle became known as the Day of the Lost Eyes. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 148. A tribute indeed to Roman marksmanship. So, very briefly about Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiallahu anhu. Where did he lose his first eye? That was in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was when the siege of Taif was taking place. A stray arrow hit him and he lost one of his eyes in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now on the plain of Yarmouk, not many years later, he's been struck on the other eye. So he's completely lost his sight. So he's one of the noble souls who became blind, literally, on the plain of Yarmouk. This was indeed the worst day of battle for the believing forces. The Muslims of the left sector thus fell back. So what's happened? After the initial push, the advantage of the attack, the archery has restored the balance of the Romans. With so much casualties, the Muslims are now being forced to retreat. Their own bows were ineffective against the Roman archers because of their shorter range and fewer numbers. Thus, the only way to reduce further casualties was to withdraw out of range of the Roman archers. So if you looked at the scene, you'd think that they're retreating. But it wasn't really a retreat. It was just a tactical withdrawal. Why? Because you're in the field of archers. You need to get out of their range. As the two sides suddenly disengaged, both fronts thereupon stood still and intently glared at each other. So look how strange. From an intense barrage of archery and the retreat of the two wings, suddenly it stops. There's that like strange pause, like nothing is happening, and they're looking at each other. Now Vahan and his generals on their right, Gregory and Kurim, had seen how the Muslims had suffered and thus now decided to exploit their advantage. The right wings of the Roman forces thus once more fiercely clashed into the Muslim left and were pushed back. So what's happened? The archers, having done their job, the infantry takes over. So the command is given, attack fiercely. So all of the corps of the Roman right is now attacking the left side of the corps of the Muslims. The Muslim left were pushed back. The Romans, realizing this was the decisive day of the battle, pushed further with all their might. The left corps of Sayyidina Yazid radiallahu anh, and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh, were pushed back even further, except for the regiment of Sayyidina Ikrimah radiallahu anh, which stood at the left edge of Abu Ubaidah's sector, i.e. center left. So now what's happened? Due to the overwhelming numbers, the believers are being pushed back. But there's one sector in Abu Ubaidah's corps, and it's to the left. They haven't been pushed back. They're fighting, you know, despite the crazy odds, they're keeping firm. And it's led by Ikrimah, radiallahu anhu. The fearless Ikrimah, radiallahu, realizing the gravity of the situation, he therefore now refused to retreat and called upon his men to take the oath of death with him so they would not retreat. So Ikrimah, he was a seasoned warrior. He's from Banu Makhzum. Banu Makhzum were the war tribe of the Quraysh. So he knew this was it. They couldn't lose the ground here. So what was his only option? To take the oath of death. And he goes, we cannot budge here. We have to keep firm. So what happened? In Al-Bidayah, volume 7, page 11, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 257 of the New English Translation, Abu Uthman al-Ghassani, rahmatullah alayhi, relates on the authority of his father, Sayyidina Ikrimah, radiyallahu, the son of Abu Jahl, said during the battle of Yarmouk, I have waged war against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on numerous occasions. Would I thus now flee today? Never. He thereupon called out, who will take the pledge of death? Hearing this, his uncle, Sayyidina Harith ibn Hisham, and Sayyidina Dirar, radiallahu anhuma, pledged along with 400 leading Muslims and riders. All of them fought vigorously in front of the very tent of Khalid, radiallahu anhu, and were as a result seriously injured, and a large number were martyred. SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So Ikrimah has taken the pledge of death, radiallahu anhu, and some names are mentioned. One of them who took the pledge was Abu Jahl's brother, Harith ibn Hisham. And don't forget, I mentioned that he was the one who was saved by Walid ibn Walid, remember, with Amr ibn al-As's brother, radiallahu anhu. And Dirar, the naked warrior, he also pledged. There was 400 leading Muslims and riders. What happened to them? Everyone was either martyred or they were seriously injured. That's the details. So there wasn't like somebody got unscathed, he got a few scratches. Either they were martyred or they were seriously wounded. In response to his call, 400 of his men immediately took the oath and fell upon the Romans like hungry lions. SubhanAllah, as a result, not only did Ikrimah radiallahu repulse the Romans on his front, but SubhanAllah, he lashed out at the Roman regiments passing on his flanks. This position was never lost by the Muslims. SubhanAllah. So look how amazing. To hold your ground there is amazing. He did that. But that wasn't enough. He not only held his ground in the left side of Abu Ubaidah's corps, he also struck out at the Romans who were attacking Yazid's corps. So how is that possible? Right? So he's held his ground. He's also having a go at those going at Yazid's corps. And that position was never lost by the Muslims. So don't get this impression that they held it and then they lost it. That position by these noble, brave souls was never lost. Of the 400 dedicated men who had taken the oath of death, everyone was either killed or seriously wounded. Ikrimah and his son were mortally wounded. So how do we know? In Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 44, Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Omal, volume 7, page 75, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 257 of the New English Translation. Now what's strange? This appears to be a premeditated plan by Ikrimah. So think about it. If you look at the scenario, you're thinking, it just happened. You know, they got the initial, pushed them back, but with the archery, the Muslims retreated, and then Ikrimah, at the spur of the moment, he took the pledge of death. That's not true. He had actually premeditated this plan. He knew this was going to happen. How do we know? Thabit Bunani, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid, radiyallahu, upon hearing of this, he told him, don't do this, O Ikrimah, for your martyrdom will be greatly felt by the Muslims. He replied, leave me be, O Khalid. Others were amongst the predecessors along with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst I and my father were greatly opposed to him. He was thus later martyred. SubhanAllah. This is recorded in Bayhaqi, volume 9, page 44. Ibn Asakir, Kanzul Umar, volume 7, page 75. Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 257 of the New English Translation. So what's shocking? How did he know that was going to unfold? So it's the beginning of the fourth day. How did Ikrimah know they're going to be ultimately be pushed back and he would have to take the resort to the oath of death? It's like, how do you know it's all going to play out? Khalid, and there's the proof. Khalid was in the right sector. How do you know about this? Because this was a premeditated plan. So Khalid went to Ikrimah. He goes, don't do it. In other words, your plan is good, but you're going to get martyred. And he goes, the Muslims will feel it. Now what did Ikrimah say? He goes, we were the last to embrace Islam. We opposed myself and my father. He goes, leave me. In other words, this is redemption. So he not only knew this was going to happen, he also knew he's going to get martyred. Meanwhile, the remainder of the left cause of Yazid and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu did not this time even reach the camp. They did not have to. For the women themselves, many of them now carrying swords, rushed forward and joined the men. So they were being pushed by Ikrimah's and the 400 honorable exception. They hold the ground. Rest are being pushed back. They didn't get back to camp. The women have now entered the battlefield. They've picked swords up because they realize this is the, you know, fateful moment. It is related. Amongst them were Sayyida Khawla and Sayyida Hakim, the wife of Zubair, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who cried out to the other women, strike the uncircumcised ones in the arms. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Futuh al-Sham, page 140. However, according to Hafiz Baladhuri rahmatullahi alayhi in his Futuh al-Buldan, page 141, these blessed words were uttered by Sayyid al-Hind radiyallahu anhu. So think about that. The women also know how serious the moment is. They've gone into battle. They've actually engaged now. And they're saying to the men, strike them on the arms. Why? If you look at the Roman armory, notice their only weakness is the arms. You know, they, because we see in many films where the Romans are portrayed with their military gear, the arm is a weakness. You go, strike the uncircumcised ones on the arms. So who called that out? It was Zubair's wife and Abu Sufyan's wife on the left side. The sight of their women fighting alongside and some even ahead of them turned the believers now into hungry, roaring lions. So obviously if your wife goes in front of you, it's quite embarrassing on the battlefield. So obviously they thought, you know, we need to set the standard. Thus in blind fury, they once again struck at the Romans in an action in which there was no maneuver and no generalship. Only individual soldiers giving of their superhuman best. Striking with sword and dagger, the valiant men of Yazid and Abu Ubaidah's corps, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, thus now finally hurled back the Romans from their frontal positions. The Romans thus retreated hastily under the incessant strikes of the believers. Subhanallah. So it was the women that was the final impetus that managed to restore the left wings. By Maghrib, the fourth day's action was over. Both forces once again stood on their original lines. It was a day that would never be forgotten, and on which the Romans very nearly came close to victory. Think about that. They had almost broken through. Every single believer played their part, including the noble women. So note, the right wing was pushed back virtually to the camp. Khalid intervened. They restored it. Amr also restored it. The left wings initially had some positive results by doing the offensive. The archery pushed them back, and then the full attack ensued. What happened? What restored that position? Two things. Ikrimah, 400 men, pledge of death, and the women. Right? Notice everybody, alhamdulillah, was playing their part, and this was the closest the Romans got to securing a victory. I.e. the fourth day. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he now knew that the sail had gone from the Roman forces, for indeed the tide had now finally turned. Such had been the carnage on that fateful day that one of the Mujahids radiyallahu anhu said, it was an encounter during which one saw nothing except decapitated heads falling to the ground and severed hands flying in the air. This is recorded in Al-Bidayah 7-12. So one of the Mujahids, he said, this is the best way I can describe that encounter. He goes, heads were flying. Because we just saw heads flying and hands flying. So how graphic is that? Heads flying, hands flying. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was the critical fourth day of battle and how, alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the believers managed to restore their lines. And the simple answer is they all played their part, including the noble women, you know, subhanAllah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحانك بحمدك سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شهدان كيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله